How many of you guys come on Wednesday? Wednesday. You like that?
Yeah.
Listen, that's not original, you see. We used to do that at the Living Word upstairs. Remember? Boy, that was good. We used to get words thrown at us, you know. But, see, I want to take advantage of you just a little bit. You know what I mean? I don't get an opportunity to do this very often. And so I can't blow it when I get a chance. You know what I mean? I'm going to sock it to you. See? And part of this is a song. Now, what I want to do is tell you a little bit. All songs aren't for everybody. I'm going to tell you that right up front. The wife's been listening to Southern Gospel on Sunday morning. Western hee-hawed when he heard that. See, he just couldn't believe she'd do that. And I, yeah, you do now? Anybody that'll back into two cars straight can listen to Southern Gospel. Can't they? And she likes it. See? Now, we have two TVs. I'm copying my pastor. And so when there's some things she watches, I just can't. I can't do it. I mean, I just can't do it. But all songs aren't the same. Some of them really appeal to you. And how many likes Amazing Grace? Now, don't lie about it now. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. How about an upbeat Amazing Grace? See? Versus, when did they write that thing? 1600 or 18? Who knows? Well, anyway, this friend of Western's made a song. And it's really good. It's got my attention. And I want you to listen to the words because it's going to be a test. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to give you a test when you get through. And so you better listen because I wrote all the words down yesterday. I had to listen to this thing 20 times to get all the words. There's lots of them. But you're getting the test, so listen. Now, it's got a catchy little tune. Go ahead. Now listen, I spent more years doing the last call for the other team than I have for this one, see? So I know about that last call. In case you don't know what I'm talking about, when you're in the world and you're in a bar, they have a last call. See, I mean, I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. See, that's out there. Some of you know what I'm talking about from experience. So I'm sitting in the living room yesterday. Martha went to baby shower. And I'm asking the Lord, I says, what can we do? What can we say that might help someone see the truth? And it reminded me that last week we had a question. Anybody? Maybe it wasn't last week. It was a couple of weeks. I don't know when it was. Anyway, I put this down here. I don't know when it was. We had a question, what is love? Remember that? Now, if you guys hadn't been here, don't get upset because you know, you're going to catch up right here. What is love? You don't have a clue? You got a clue?
God.
Huh?
God.
God is love? That's simplistic now. That's not a parable. That's just straightforward, simple as it gets. God is love. Now, I got in serious trouble. I better stand up when I say this because it's bad news. It seems like you impress people when you stand up. They think you're going to, you know, charge them or something, or maybe bring the mic over and have them say something like, eat them, say good morning.
Good morning.
See, and I didn't bother eat them, but, you know, some people, it really, they go into a panic when you, I'm not going to give it to Samima. I know why she'll do it. I know better. I used to panic. That's why. Well, I didn't go to church, though, before I got saved. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how it is. But I heard, you know, I heard people hide in church. I don't know. It could be. What is love? The trouble I got in with that was a long time ago, the Lord was showing me some stuff, and he says, no human being has love in them until I come in. And I happened to be talking to two women, and they told me that I was up the creek because they love their children. And I says, I'm sorry, I can't, you know, I mean, I understand that you got a problem and you want to try this case before the high court, but I didn't generate this. So, I mean, I'm just not going to defend it. Take it up with God. He's the one who said he was love, not you. I don't care if you think you love your children or not. I know what he told me. Now, you can just accept it, or you can just go around huffing and puffing. And they puffed and huffed for a while, I'm sure. I says, now, there was four kind of loves explained by the Right Reverend. Pastor Don explained the four kind of loves. You know, the one that counts is God's love. The rest of it is just passing. Because you can only love your dog here. You're not going to love your dog in heaven. So that's a different kind of love than agape. Unless we have some dog lovers who would like to contest that, we will leave that out there as a truth. I don't believe there's going to be any dogs running around on the gold streets. Now, that could be. I don't know. He hadn't told me, but I don't believe there will be. So I'm talking to him, and anytime you guys want to insert something, feel free, okay? That's what they're doing up here. Plus, if y'all get tight and want to attack me, they're here to help. Thank you, George. I appreciate that. Okay. Hold this a minute.
Okay.
I gotta get great.
Good thing I was here. Oh, we're getting serious now,
buddy. Yeah, but
stand by.
Oh man, there's stuff on this paper. You know, I messed up a few years ago. I went to what you call these eye doctors? Optometrist, the ones that cut your eyeball open and put a new lens in. Ophthalmologist. Oh boy, I can't spell it, so there's no need trying to pronounce it. Anyway, I went when I was things were beginning to fog up in my world, you know. And boy, I got to tell you this is really good. Now, we were going through the mountains. I was riding, the wife and I ride around in a cargo van and deliver freight during the week to make a little, you know, grit money, you know, so we can buy grits. And we were riding around. Martha doesn't like grits, but she's coming along. But we were riding through the mountains and it was a Christmas season, see, okay? And, you know, everybody. Boy, them mountain people really know how to decorate. I mean, they get with the program. They light up the outhouses. I mean, they do, and they're not ashamed of it. But we were riding along, and I was looking over at this hillside, and they had I don't know what kind of lights these were, but they looked like stars to me. You know how a star is supposed to look when you draw them on paper? You know, it has little shoots out like this. You know what I mean? You see one light, but there's little streams going out from it everywhere. You know that? You know what I'm saying? I think that's the way they show light coming out from it. Well, I was seeing this over on the hillside, and I says to Martha, we was driving along, you know, looking at them lights, you know, and I says, how do they get them lights to do that? She says, what? I says, look at them little things coming out from them lights. It's like they got, I never seen lights like that before. She says, what things? Well, I was seeing them, you know what I mean? Cataracts. I was seeing these little shoots coming out from these lights, and it looked like they're decorations. And she didn't see them. So I went to the doctor, and I had both my eyes done, and now I can see perfect. You know, everything's clear, but I can't read anything up close. That's why I had to buy these Walmart specials. Okay. Now that just got us on board. Okay. I got a question from the Lord. I got three of them. Matter of fact, they're all the same, but you just listen to this. Now, after he did this, he just quit giving me stuff. So I guess we need to do this and go home. So you listen up now. Then we won't have to do it but once. Do you believe God exists? Now, I ought to give you a test right there. I mean, you know, I ought to have everybody close their eyes, and then you raise your hand if you believe it. But I know some of you would peek. I know it. You'd be wanting to see who had their hand up and who didn't. See? I know you would. But see, that's a good question. Because if you don't believe he exists, then you can't go to him. Isn't that scripture? I know it is. I just don't know where it is. I know it. You know, do you have a hard time remembering what book and chapter and verse? Well, see, it wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was just written. See, the whole thing. There was no chapters and no verses. The Gentile put those in there so we could keep up with it. And he made it hard for us. The Jew had it made. All he needed to do is quote scripture. God's love. Jesus wept. He'd have to tell you where it was. You want to know, you go look it up. It's in there. If you don't believe he exists, then you won't seek him. And you're certainly not going to find out anything unless you do. That's question number one. And I'm going to ask Lori this question number two when she gets back. Oh, I'm so kind. Do you believe Jesus is his son? Now, this is for you now, not for me. I've already answered this yesterday afternoon. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is our comforter or counselor? Same word. Okay? You got those three questions? That's all we got. Three questions. Because if you believe God is for real, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something now. Listen real good. You will have already done something about it. So for me to tell you you got to do it, that's dumb. If you believe that he's for real, you've already done something. If you believe Jesus is his son, you've already done something. You won't do it today because you never believed before. If you believe the Holy Ghost was sent to us believers, Well, he's sent to the world, wasn't he? Reprove the world of sin. What else? Two more things. What was it? Righteousness. What else? One more. Because the devil got into this somewhere. He got condemned to hell. If you believe that God is real. I kind of like that question because that's the question I asked him just before I stepped into the kingdom. Now you understand that there's a line right in front of you, and I don't, yeah, right there it is. There's a little line like right here in the carpet. You can't see it, but I can. And it's in front of everybody. You're on this side of the kingdom until you step in to his kingdom. You understand? That's as easy as it gets now. But I'm going to tell you what. You can't step in there unless you... Huh? So here goes. Let me just tell you how it happened to me. I was standing down in a restaurant on Independence and 4th Street. They had just had a prayer breakfast. I didn't know what a prayer breakfast was. I figured that's just where you bless the food and eat. And I like eating. I always have. Lost my appetite one time in my life. One time. Had polio. That's what they said it was. They quarantined me for a month anyway. No visitors. Boy, that was tough because it was in the middle of the summer in the 10th grade when kids my age were out chasing rabbits and slingshot prongs and doing swimming and in the swimming holes and all kind of crazy stuff. I'd stay inside a whole month. But I was down at this restaurant, see? And I was to this line, right up real close to it. Now I'm just standing there. And I made God a proposition. Because I didn't know he was for real. See? Unless you've been into the kingdom, you don't know it. You can only believe. Huh? I believe there's something going on. I don't know what it is. And so I made him this proposition. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. He don't mind propositions. As long as you ain't trying to jive him. You understand me? If you're not trying to trick him or tell him a lie or con him, he don't mind you asking or checking him out. He doesn't mind. And so I'm standing up here at this line. And I says to myself, now I never knew that he read your heart. I learned that later. That's in the Word. See? I didn't know God knew I was thinking these things. But in my mind, I said, God, if you're real, I'm going to step across this line. And you can have all you want. I'm going to give you me. And I stepped over. And the line disappeared behind me. Because I can't go back. And if you've ever stepped over, you can't go back either. No way. See, now the book tells you this, you see. You bought with a price, you're not your own. I mean, they've been kicking this thing about eternal salvation ever since the book was written down in words for Gentiles to read. Probably, if I know the Jewish mind, they've been kicking it around forever. They like to argue over everything. Especially scripture. Is that not right? Big time discussers. Really like to get it done. But I'm going to tell you what. All I did was say, if you for real, I'm giving you my life. And I put on the end of that. This is why I'm telling you, you can test. You can proposition him with anything. Any way you want to. Just be honest about it. And I said to him, in my mind now, because I'm still, I ain't knowing he's listening. You understand? I found that out in just a few minutes. But I'm going to tell you right now. Right that moment, I didn't know that anybody knew what was going on in my head but me. You understand? And I says, but if you're not real, I am going to, and I laid out a whole bunch of stuff that I was going to do, and it wasn't pretty. At first, I was going to leave the wife and the kids, not even tell them where I was going. I was going to quit my job, and I was, they used to have this TV show. What the heck was it? Route 66? Route 66. Yeah, anybody old enough to can remember that? Well, that's an oldie, but all these guys did was travel and raise Cain. See, that's all he did. And that's what I was going to do. I was going to leave the wife, my three children. I was going to quit my job. Had a good job with AT&T. And I was going to start raising Cain. Isn't it amazing how you raise something up? And, you know, and if you, how about if you just wanted to tear something down? I'm going to tear down this world. No, you say, I'm raising Cain. Well, Cain was the first murderer. Huh? So I'm going to raise him up here so everybody see the first murderer. I'm going to go out and kill everything I know to be right. Now, that's pretty harsh, you know what I mean? And if you're serious about that thing, and I was, and it was the end of the prayer breakfast, and this preacher was praying. I have no idea what he said. I wasn't listening to him. I had thoughts going on in my head. And I walked from the back room of this little restaurant out to the cash register, because that's where they took your money. But we'd already paid in the back room, so I didn't have to do that. But they happened to have cigars out there that I loved. They had my brand. You know me? I smoked them. Stunk, man. I know people that smoke that brand, and I can't stand to be around them because they stink. Clothes, hair, breath, everything. I walked out there to this cash register, and there was nobody there. All these women were back delivering food, and I'm standing there. Come on, you know, people don't want your money, yada yada. You know, impatient. I want me a cigar. Come on. Nobody was there but me. See. Now listen to this, okay? Because I've had some friends of mine who disown me for saying this, okay? But I'm telling you what happened. Now you can either believe it or you can sit on it. I don't care. It's not going to change anything. The Lord spoke to me audibly from right there. Clear as a clear. He didn't need a mic. He says, why are you buying those? First, I looked. Then I thought, oh, I put them back. They was in a little folder thing standing up in there. I set them back in there. Now, I'm telling you, I remember clear as a bell, clear as the day it happened. I put them back. And I went out the door and got my car. Now, on the way to work, which was only about 6 blocks, I'm driving to work, and I had my first prayer session. Man, I says, okay, Lord, you know I've quit these things 100 times, and it's going to tick me off if I have to go uptown to get me some cigars at lunch, because that's when you want them the most, right after you eat. I'm going to be hot. I says, but here we go now. I got a new line. See, new line. Where'd he go? Right here. I'm going to step into something I don't know nothing about here, see. Had no teaching. Didn't have the slightest idea that this would work. But I was serious, you see. I says, okay, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. You take away the desire, I'll never do it again. And I stepped over that line, fully expecting lunchtime to come and me the want one. It passed. On the way home, I'm saying the same thing. After supper tonight, that's dinner for you elite folks. After supper tonight, I know I'm going to want me one of them cigars. And I'm going to be hotter than I would have been if I'd had to go uptown, because I'm going to have to drive back from Fort Mill up to town, because they didn't happen to have them in Fort Mill at that time. I know every place that they were sold, you're talking to somebody who liked to smoke two cigars, right? Hooked. Supper came and went. And I said, well, I'll be talking. You good. That is all right. Now, I might as well just go ahead and finish this thing. So let me just tell you. That was on Wednesday. I told the wife that night, after supper, I said, I'm going to church. She says, would you please come in before daylight? I'll worry about you when the daylight comes and you're not here. Didn't you? She didn't believe me. She thought, I don't know what he's into now. And I didn't tell her. Wednesday night, we used to have Bible study. Then you changed it to Tuesday after I started coming. And James D. was up. I don't know what he's doing, you know what I mean? I couldn't hardly keep up with his words. He talked so fast then, you know. Plus he was saying words that I didn't know, you know, like Jesus and Bible and Holy Ghost and Word and I was having to get all that. It was brand new words for me. You don't use those things. Well, some of them you do. You cuss and use some of them. But and sure, don't turn to John 1:1. I didn't know where John was. I was looking around for him. Turn. Huh? Anyway, James D. says, if anybody needs to know Jesus, you just come on down here. I didn't know any better. So I was sitting on the back row. DJ, me and you. I was sitting on the back row. And I remember taking the first step. I don't even think I touched the carpet all the way down. Whew. I was down front, and he sent me in the back room with these three elders. Let's see, Pistol and Lamar and Cope, I believe. And they talked all this stuff. I didn't have the slightest idea what they're saying. I just kept saying, okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that. Are you guilty of sin? Yeah. You want to confess it? I says, where do you want me to start? You want it all? We ain't got time tonight unless you're going to keep me till the morning and the wife's really going to get upset. Yeah. And the next day. And see, I didn't go to fight and look for a reason to get out of something. I was looking for what they wanted me to do. They said, if you'll do this, you'll be okay. I said, all right. That ain't much of a challenge. And when they told me to go down front and announce it, I thought, oh, boy. Because this is something that I've always been terrified of, believe it or not. Speaking before a crowd. Now, I don't, you know, you just don't care what people think after a while. That's how you get over it. It's not that you get so intelligent that you're going to be above the audience, you know, and so if they don't get you, well, then that's tough luck. But you just don't care because you know that what you're going to do is tell them the truth. And if they hear you, that's good. If they don't, well, it's a loss. Jesus put it this way. If they listen to me, they listen to you. That's what he said. Now, after I found that, I thought, ooh, I can be a little bit more braver now. Yeah. Because he wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be intimate. I'm going to volunteer to be slow, okay? Slow means slow learner. I'm going to volunteer because I was 38 years old when I got saved. So, you know, I'm slow. I went through a lot of stuff getting to the point where I could give up. A bunch. Not to be proud of it. I'm just saying I'm slow and I'm going to volunteer for that. I'm going to be the slowest one in here. Okay. I'm volunteering. But Jesus is not impressed with our intelligence. What did he say? Intelligence of man is foolishness.
Yes, Mike.
Come on, Mike. What's intelligence of man?
Intelligence of what?
Maybe I'll turn around and talk to these guys and let you guys answer the question. But you don't impress God with just smarts. Even Michael. Michael, I'm sorry, you don't impress him with your smarts. You impress me a bunch. But not God, because that just scratches the surface. It's not even close. Our intelligence we can't even comprehend. We can't comprehend why in the world did he love us as much as the trash that I've done. And he still loves me. That ain't normal. Is it? It better not be. Because super has to come in there somewhere. Supernatural. That's what God is. He's not normal. He's supernatural. Super normal. Supernatural. See, you have to be that in order to love the unlovely, Mr. James D., don't you? That's our commission, to love each other so that the world will know that Jesus came. My thing is this, you can't do it until he comes in. Until his spirit lives inside of you, you can't love. You can't even love the lovely. They'll tick you off occasionally. I mean, let's look here. I got to mention this because the days is over, and I know, Barb, you appreciate this. We had somebody in a high office for 8 years, and, I mean, he messed up. You don't know what I'm talking about? You know who I'm talking about, don't you? I did not have sex with that woman. And so we now have a different definition, a new definition, recorded in the annals of history of what sex is. It's in Leviticus. You know, don't lay with a man, like you lay with a woman. And we have so much trouble just dealing with the little things, see. Now, what got me started on this thing with the law was that I was reading this writer, and I got to thinking about it. Man starts out, he had one law. Anybody know what it is? Anybody can volunteer. I'm not going to ask these guys because they done failed the first test. Oh, here we got a volunteer. Tell me the first law.
Don't eat off the tree.
Don't eat off of that tree. Of what?
Of what? Of what? Life. Of knowledge.
Knowledge.
Of good and evil.
They passed. They just, okay. Barely took all three of them together to do it. I love it. Listen, one law, and mankind could not keep it. So, a little time passed, and God decided, I'll just wipe out all these sinning people. I mean, they have gotten terrible. So the flood came along. Thank goodness Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that right? Noah found favor. Boy, that's a statement in itself. You know, if you know him, and maybe we should say if he knows you, you have found favor in his eyes. But here's Noah, come along, whoosh, wipes out everybody, but Noah and some of his immediate family. Time goes by. Moses is born. Grows up, gets up on the mountain. And God writes him out some laws. A whole bunch of them. Said he did it with his finger. And I mean, that don't mean his finger's an ink pen. You understand? Because he wrote them on rock. That's tough. Try it. Tough. But he wrote out all these laws. Guess what? Man couldn't keep them. He made a covenant with them out there. Man broke it. Upset God. Buried a bunch of people in the sand out there in the desert. You know, that should be the richest soil on earth. And matter of fact, that may be where all the oil's coming from, all them people he buried out there. See? Never thought of it. Buried a bunch of them. Man couldn't keep the law. So here comes Jesus. And he gave us, he reminded us of the two that's important. Now here goes the test again. I'm not asking you. What's the first one?
The greatest one.
Love God, your Father, with everything that you are.
Okay. What's the second one?
The second one.
Second part of that. You going to flunk?
I'm not sure if I recognize his interpretation.
Well, I mean, you understand. What street do you live on?
I lived right around the corner from
here. That's Winsley Drive in Turpentation.
I lived on Farmbrook.
Farmbrook. Okay.
They say, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul.
And
And your neighbors as yourself.
All right, all right. See? You only got this. Jesus says, hey, all of the commandments are wrapped up in these two. Is that not what he said? I mean, it's in my book. All of these, all commandments are wrapped up in these two little old dinky laws. Forgive me. It's just a word. Love God with everything that you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And we want to get picky about who is my neighbor. How far do I have to go to love my neighbor? I mean, where does neighbors stop and enemies start? What do you think? Anybody? It doesn't? You mean a circle is doesn't have a corner? No? So then, if we love God with everything that we have, then we can love anybody else. Now, what's the book saying? Because I know he knows this. See, what's the book? What? Yeah, it's good. He's gonna do it to me when he gets a chance. I know he is. Yeah, I'm gonna have to study triple hard when one of these guys gets it. Look here. What does he say about this? Will prove whether you love me or not.
Well, if you keep my commandments.
Oh gosh, I knew he knew that. We've talked this up so much. It'd be stage fright if he didn't know it. It'd just be like answering that question on Jeopardy. You know it, but you can't think of it. See, right? I knew it, yeah. Because we talked about it a bunch, all the time. It's good. Now, keeping his commandments, they're not hard. The book says they're not burdensome. He doesn't have a heavy load that'll break you down. Is that what it says? Take my burden. It's not heavy. It's light. Now, I read something there into that, whether you do or not. I'm going to share. I'm going to show you what I read in it. It's lighter than the load you got.
Amen.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Now, every time you start to take on some additional load that he doesn't want you to have, he reminds you. Now, James D. used to teach us this way. You don't sin without being reminded you shouldn't. Never. He always reminds you first. You shouldn't do that. Never. So you see, we got a helper. Constant. Full time. 24/7. Doesn't take a vacation day. Always with us to help us. When temptation comes, if it comes your way, it's not above what you can take care of. He promised us that. Now, there is a little thing here that we are required to do, and that's trust him. When it don't look like an answer, we have to trust anyway. Now, I'll give you a little example, and then I'm going to quit. And if these guys don't have anything to share, I can't believe they're doing this to me anyway. I drug them up here so they'd share something. I'm talking too much, aren't I?
Yeah.
Martha was laying out in the hospital in Asheville. We went on a trip to deliver some freight, and she was about to die on the trip, so I rushed her to the hospital, and she had 5 blood clots in her lungs. What's the name there, the one that died with 3? Singer? One of them singers, I don't know. anyway, didn't happen too much longer before that. But Martha's laying in there about dead. And I was staying with her. I says, well, I'm going to be here. When whatever happens, I'm going to be here. I ain't going anywhere. They can close the business up. I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. Not leaving her. And so they brought me this little cot in there to sleep on in the room that she's in. I was in. And the Lord said to me, you want her to get well? I says, oh, come on. You know I do. He says, well, walk around the bed and pray in the spirit. I says, that's it? He says. So I got up out of the little old bed there, little cot, and I started walking around the bed, her bed. I could only do it on three sides because it was pushed up against the wall. So here I'm going around this way, praying in the spirit, and backing up, going around here, praying in the spirit. Now, you see, you understand that praying in the spirit wasn't the answer. I was just being obedient to what he told me to do. If he'd have told me to build a stick house, I'd have done that too. But I trusted what he told me to do. And the next morning, I tell you, this is good. I don't know, how many days was you in there? 4 days? 3 days of it. They gave her this little button to push, and it was the end of a add morphine to your drip bottle. And every time she'd push it, it'd go beep, beep, beep. I could hear it beeping all night. Beep. Every time she'd wake up a little bit, she'd push that thing. Beep. I think she was pushing it in her sleep sometime. Beep. Beep. So, fourth day, third night is when I did this. I walked around the bed praying. Fourth morning, I got up. She didn't even have it in her hand. The lady come in, the nurse came in and says, you hadn't pushed the button in a while. She says, I don't need it. I don't hurt. Is that not true? All because you trust and you do what the Spirit tells you to do. Don't you just love pauses? I do. You see, I think of things like, what if I fall apart? What if I just, people think about that big disease with C. What if you get C? And you have to cut your leg off. What if you lose your job and they repossess your house? Or they repossess you? Huh? What if? What difference does it make? If you can take your house with you when you leave here, then you better hold on tight to it while you're here. Now, if you can't, then you don't need to think too highly of that thing. Or your car. Or your clothes. Or your wallet. Now, my question I had for the church, now that was, those three was what the Lord gave me. I had one. And if I can think of it, I'll give it to you. It may be on the paper. I don't know. I'd put my eyes on. Biggie. Oh, there it is. It's under Biggie. I wrote that on there, Biggie. because this is a biggie. I want you to, I want to, I got this question. Let's see. Does the Bible influence your actions? That's for you. Does it? That's what it say, influence your actions? You see? Well, let me tell you something, because I used to be a drinker too. You know what I mean? Boy, it seems like it. When you're just playing with sin, you don't matter. All of it's good. You think it'll all kill you. Smoking will give you cancer. It'll kill you through your lungs going away. Drinking will petrify your liver. It'll kill you by wiping your liver out. So, but it used to be, I thought it was fun. See? Really? The Bible comes along and lays out a good plan for us to just operate in. Real good. Has some benefits like you wouldn't believe. I mean, you know, some of the, oh boy, what is these people that, psychologists, is that what they call them? They come along, they take care of actions and reactions and interactions, and they even say that if you smile at somebody, you get a smile back. That's what they say. It's catchy. Doing good is catchy. The book calls it love overcomes evil, doesn't it? So all the problems that we have, you know, it's not like that we don't have things that bothers us, because they're out there. Income tax. Oh. See, we're concerned with that too, Samantha. So there's two of us together here. We can overcome. Okay. Especially if the Lord wants to deliver us from that. Huh? Not a biggie. Three. Three's not a crowd. Not with him. Everybody in here could have IRS problems. It's not a big thing. Fact is, there a problem too big for him? Anything? See, I've known a couple of dope addicts that got delivered from dope instantly. That's that quick. I know one alcoholic that quick. So our habits are not a problem for him. Are they? We just can't do any better than being in love with Jesus. Okay? That's the top of the pole. We get there, we in good shape. You understand? Because what goes on in the world won't matter. It won't matter if the president does something that ain't quite right. It ain't going to upset you. Might make you pray for him. It's all right. And it's not all right that he did it, but it's not going to influence whether you're in love with Jesus or not. You can be free, is what I'm saying. That's all this whole thing is this. You can be free if you want to be. Free from anything that's taxing you. free. If you want to be, can't you eat them? Think so? Can you be free? Here? In this life? Can you be free in this life? I mean, have you got about 15 or 20 things you've been sitting there worried about while we're doing this? No. Ah, Swanee. But you have to turn loose. You can't hold on to them. And there's a line somewhere in your world that you got to get up there and you got to make a decision. I'm going to step across this line into the Lord's world and he can have all that I am. And if it includes problems, that's, he can handle it. See? But you got to step across that line. And you can't go back. You can't play two games. Oh, over the line one day, I'm back in again. I'm over the line one day. Aren't you glad I'm not writing songs? Yeah. Thank you very much. An honest preacher. They're rare. I hope that you've been able to hear a little truth about Jesus being personal with individuals, because he is. He doesn't save blocks of people. He doesn't save cities. He doesn't save countries. Sometimes he calls out of people. He did that. They're still on call. They just on hold. But he saves everybody one at a time. And if it's in your heart to give everything to Jesus, you don't have to know what it is. And you don't have to worry about it. He'll let you know what he wants. You just have to be willing to turn it loose when he says, let me have it. I don't have any more examples. None? These guys are talking big time in the office, you know what I mean? I can't believe it. Let me tell you this. One thing, then I'm going to quit. Something that we don't do very much of, and I'm not suggesting that you broadcast this in the paper or put it on TV. But the Catholics practice something called confession. This will clear your conscience. Protestants gave it up. Because they didn't like to get in this little booth and look through the square, little round hole with the screen on it. Well, I can buy that. But the confession is a truth. It says so in the Word. If you confess your faults one to another. He is just. He will forgive you. And heal you from all unrighteousness. So you don't have to sit with unrighteousness in you. You just don't have to do it. Enemy will beat you up if you do. No matter what it is. Was this a good day? You had enough? I love my wife. She is first class. She tells me the way it is, buddy. Okay. Let me pray for... No, I'm not going to do that. James, Steve, would you pray for the congregation?